Ladies and gentlemen, we have Mark in the house.
Raise the roof.
This is episode 4.
Episode 4, that's episode exciting. Eight, I always say that's exciting.
And how are you?
Yeah!
Sorry.
Delirious with just joy.
We were just...
off my tits on joy.
Exactly. We're just talking about, like, just lightly, won't go into it, but life is a constant kind of list-ticking act. Like, you constantly have to be active to kind of enjoy yourself, you know, so... but yes, it's fine.
It's really funny. I was talking to someone about this podcast, and then they were like, oh, like, what software do you use to edit the podcast? What do you do? And I was just like... I don't know, Ian does all of that. All I do is go and chat. And he's like, oh, so you're basically useless. And I'm like, yes, but I've got an anecdote or two. And I realized, and I noticed that when you were sitting up today, I was like, I sit here and do absolutely bugger all.
Yes. I know, I have a horrifying feeling that my MacBook is on its way out. And I think, but it's only 2 years old, it can't be. And I actually don't... I don't flog too badly. Ooh. Because everything's on an external hard drive and stuff. But anyway.
Mine's like 10 years old. It's a big chunky one still. Ooh. Before it went skinny. Got it at first time I went to uni for my design software.
Nice. Yes. No, I... if anyone is curious, yes, I just record this through GarageBand. And I have... this is called an audio interface that the microphones plug into that then goes into a USB port, then goes into, what is it, the C port? Oh, it's all... Anyway.
We just lost 4 listeners.
And I don't edit. I don't edit. Like, I don't... No, I never cut anything out.
Just us chatting.
Just us chatting.
Just unfiltered. Unedited.
Yeah. Actually, that does remind me...
Did you leave the cats in the last episode? Oh. You can tell us.
Anyway... Mark, tell me, what do you want to talk about?
So, do you know what's really funny? I once had this conversation. One of the things that really irritates me, red flag.
Okay.
On dating apps, ooh, is when people, you get that question, are you mask?
Ooh. Right? But are you mask, sweetie?
Babes, what is mask? Like, tell me, what is mask? What does that look like? Can you just, like, quantify being mask for me? I'm going to tell you a story, right? So I was going down to Manchester Pride one year, and I was in the car driving down with the person I was going down to Manchester Pride with, and I said to them, and I was like, do you think I'm camp? And I've always assumed that was a bit camp. Like, people always knew I was gay. I never had to tell them. And he was like...
Never apologize.
He was like, and he paused, and he thought about it. And he kind of just took this breath and went, no, you're not camp. I don't think you're camp. But you've got a quality that is distinctly not straight. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. I was like, and what is that quality?
Keep talking. I'm just getting a pen and paper. I just need to write this down.
You got to write it down.
No, not what you're saying, but something that we'll continue on.
Yeah,
go on.
And he was like, yeah, I was like, what is this quality that's distinctly not straight? He was like, you're just really chatty to strangers. You just go up and talk to people, and straight boys don't do that. I was like, oh, okay. But I thought that whole concept was quite interesting, because I don't think that I'm a mask. Oi, oi, lads, cheeky Nandos. Let's spit and talk about vaginas. But
no.
At the same time, I don't think I'm ultra femme. I don't class myself as, like, really feminine or, like, female presenting in any way. Or
you don't have the elegance and
grace. I don't have the class or the bank balance to present myself as a beautiful lady.
It's expensive.
It's very expensive. Think about the makeup alone.
We have a guest.
Arthur, here's a question. Sabrina. Sabrina.
Let's have a look at your hair. Yes, we're recording. You can be live.
Sabrina, question for you.
Sabrina had her hair done today.
I'm going to ask Sabrina a question. Question.
Gorgeous, babe. I like that.
Sabrina is donning a...
1 second.
I can't describe it. Have you paused?
Can we just pause this? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back in a second from saying that I don't edit anything out. So that has been edited out. Now, we were talking about, mask and camp. And yes, what I was going to say is about Wait, let me stop that. Okay. What were you saying?
So I was saying that I don't distinctly think of myself as masculine, and I don't distinctly mm-hmm. think of myself as camp. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I have days where I am more flamboyant than others, and I have days where I am more conventionally heterosexual or conventionally masculine. Mm. But it's very much swings and roundabouts, and it's almost like a pendulum thing. It's like, where's the pendulum going to land today? It's a swing from one extreme to the other.
Like, to use a word that's used a lot now, and I like the use of the word, is sassy. Like, there are some days that I'm sassier and I feel wittier and I feel I can get away with more and be cheeky, you know.
Yeah.
And there are some days where I'm a lot more, I try to be Anna Wintour-esque, like decisive and, you know, and like controlled. And I'm not grumpy, but I'm just like, Ian has got loads to do right now. So obviously let's like just stay out of his way or just, you know, type of thing. So yeah, I do alternate quite a lot from that. But what I do find is when people see, and I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before, is when people see me out in the street, they'll message me, and I know Arthur has done this before, and they'll say, wow, you look like you're in a really foul mood. Are you okay? Or sometimes if I get stopped, like, are you okay? Like, by a friend. And it's just because I've always, you want to pass in public. You don't want to be gay, but you don't want to be
and harassed. That's, so that's harassed. A thing, right? Yeah. Why do we want to pass in public? Is this inherent, like, gay shame that is embarrassing to people for people to know that we're gay? Because if we weren't embarrassed about people knowing that we're gay, we wouldn't care about passing. Mm. Interesting.
I think it's because we know that there are some people who just hate gays, you know, and we just don't want the drama.
James, like, self-preservation. So almost like a survival instinct.
Yeah,
I think it's really interesting. I used to work for everyone's favorite Swedish retailer.
Is it also cowardly?
I think so. I think it is. I think
because I love it when I do see, like, guys, girls holding hands.
And just
I'm
doing
like,
their thing.
Good on you. And I'm like, I could never do that.
100%. Mm-hmm. When I used to work at selling kitchens, and I'd sit in that back office, and I'd be on the phone. I don't know if I've said this before. I'd be on the phone to, like, installers and stuff, and they would phone up, and we'd be like liaising with customers, arranging their install, getting stuff delivered. And then you get installers that would phone you up and be like, oh, this is missing, can you organize this? I'll come and pick it up. And I was in that office, and I'd be like phoning people, and everyone would go quiet when I pick up the phone, because I would pick up that phone and instantly my voice would drop. Like, just like 4 octaves. And it would go from being like, hello, to like, oh yeah, all right, pal. So I've got 4 of those 1400 panels, those 8x82s. So what I'll do is we'll just get them put at the warehouse and you can just go pick them up. Yeah, no, it's fine. It's all right. Blah, 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 blah. And then they'd come off and they would just be like, what is that,
what
voice?
Was that voice?
And I'd be like, what voice? And then they were like, is that your real voice? And we started calling it my real voice. And I was like, maybe that is my real voice. Maybe I just put this on for you for entertainment value. And I just find it hilarious.
It would be great to have that kind of level of mystery, like a sleeper agent.
Yeah.
Where I'm acting gay.
Who is she?
Where did I think it was Straight Jacket, the book.
Ironic.
Todd, yeah, by something Todd, where it does talk about it's a very depressing book, but it's good because it is a research book about, you know, the gays and LGBTQI, you know, our psychology in life and how often we'll have, like, you know, more breakdowns or be more vocal about our emotions and stuff like that, but from a young age, knowing our difference, we are often in fight or flight mode because we are the threat in the room. Okay, so we would walk into a room. Let's say you're in your 20s and you walk into a, you know, cafeteria in, like, at college, and, you know, it's your first, you know,
been there, babes.
Exactly. You know, like, do you proudly, you know, go across and be confident, or do you, like, because, you know, you don't know what people are gonna think of you if you're, I don't know, it was really interesting because I've always felt like I was the threat in the room, that like, you know, guys would be like, oh god, he's, you know, he's thinking about sucking my dick, and maybe I am, Maybe I'm not. You know, but maybe, probably not, actually, knowing me. Probably thinking about Mariah Carey. But yeah, you don't want that. You don't want guys kind of clamming up around you. And also, you almost don't want, like, people talking to you about stuff you don't know anything about, like cars or sports.
I know cars. I like cars. I can talk about cars and stuff. But I think for me, it's like, I would hate to think that I've made someone else feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't like that. So maybe the pretense, the pretending, the trying to pass thing. It's like just trying to make sure everyone feels a bit more comfortable. But at the same time, I'm a bit like, fuck you guys.
Exactly. You're not hurting anyone. Yeah. And it's so interesting you say, like, when you, I was thinking about it in, when we're talking about, like, Tinder and stuff, you know, in the straight, not just gays, but some guys and some girls will go for a bad boy, you know. But what does that mean? Like, does that a guy, oh, yeah, so... Obviously talking about mask. So when you say mask, for me, that looks like someone who, like, spends 3 hours, you know, 5 days a week at the gym. They're like, you know, they just look mean. They look like they wear a baseball cap.
Epitome of testosterone.
Exactly. Yeah. They're going to destroy your ass type thing, you know. But, I mean, and that's, you know, that is a hot look. That is a hot look.
Yeah, why do we hate... And I hate myself a wee bit for that. Like, yeah,
that is a hot look as well. But equally as well, I mean, goodness, you and I both know that, like, I've seen many Instagram accounts of guys who would identify as a twink, or even, you know, I don't know if there's an even more, like, kinky, feminine, you know, going into kind of dressing in lingerie...
Version
of that. You know, I've seen a lot of that as well. And there must be many... You know, dom mask tops who are like, yes, that's
yeah.
That's,
but then it's like, but then there's a part of me that feels really uncomfortable that almost like embracing that kind of male femininity is then fetishized as a sexual thing. Because then I feel like it almost goes back to like this kind of old idea that like gay is dirty and gay is like sex. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's all kind of a bit shameful. And like drag is like smutty and slutty and shameful. And it's like actually like. Gay culture it's not all related to fucking.
No.
But almost everything gets marred with that same kind of brush. So it's like.
I think it's getting better. I think it is getting better. I do. Because
drag's more mainstream.
Drag's more mainstream. We are a lot more represented, almost too much. Like, come on. You and I both know through Pride Month, the banks are rainbows, Starbucks are rainbow, Costa's rainbow, because, like, all the big brands are rainbows. It's
the pandering. It's the pandering for me. Like,
we are almost overrepresented. And I had a really interesting conversation with someone the other day who was talking about, you know, women's rights and how sometimes all this, I mean, it's great that we are heavily represented only through 1 month. No, well, you know, we're represented throughout the year, but especially in Pride Month, it's very obvious. But there are still, like, you know, men's health issues that are not addressed. And that is unfortunately overlooked, that, you know, heterosexual men are a majority in the male, you know, in the male sex. And does that make... In the male gender? And also women's rights, you know. You know, it's so good that we are focusing so much on, you know... God, I feel like I'm about to say something like that's going to bite me in the ass in the future.
You're going to get cancelled, aren't you?
Exactly, get cancelled. No, but, like, you know, there are still fundamental things, like we are not addressing as a society.
We need to spend more time making sure that cis white heterosexual men are just taken care of, because
but I get your point. Like, I'm not trying to say that, and it's not just white. It's like, you know, I'm sure there are lots of, like, you know, straight men going through a lot of, you know, in like internal hell. They're saying, where's all my helplines and stuff like that? And there are some great Brothers in Arms, Samaritans, all these great helplines out there. And, you know, when it comes to women's rights, you know, so much awful stuff is still happening, that, but we're all focused so much on, and maybe it is because people are still shocked by anything to do with LGBTQ issues.
But are we still, or is it?
Not you and I.
But I'm saying is, but the wider are we just aware of what's happening because we follow those publications and that's the press that we're looking at and that's the Instagram accounts that we're following? And do you know what I mean? Is that really is that really the reality, or is that just the reality that we're living in because that's the the media that we are being fed?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because when I
That might just be your perception of it.
Yeah, when I was vegan. Did I tell you I was vegan? I was for 1 year.
Lentils.
It didn't go well for me, let's just say. Anyway, but it was interesting because obviously I started following vegan accounts on social media and bought vegan publications like magazines, which bee books and all that. And then you're like, why is no one else like acknowledging what's the horror of all this and how bad meat is for you and all this? And it just became my world for a whole year, you know. And then when I stopped and started eating meat again, and then started like slowly moving away from animal cruelty accounts and stuff like that, because it is awful to see like hourly. You know, when you start, then you almost unfortunately forget about it. But as you're right. If you are following, you know, get a lot of gay accounts on Instagram, and especially ones who are, I love those, the guys who are like researchers and stuff, like, you know, here's a tip of like, here's a bit of fact about gay history or what this drug is. And, you know, so it's like, because obviously it does become your world and stuff like that.
Can I pick up on something there that you just said? So I had, here's where you step back. So I had been at the gym a couple of weeks ago, and I had come home and went early morning on Saturday, came home, productive weekend, made myself a big breakfast, protein, had my
meat.
Yeah, it was like loads of eggs. It was like, I think it was a big omelette or something with loads of spinach.
That's never vegan.
Right. And then I had a protein shake, had my creatine tablets, blah, blah, and I'd put a photo up being like, oh, like, healthy Saturdays, being the knob that I am, and got a message, a direct message on Instagram. Somebody like, are you on PrEP? And I was like,
what?
I was like, yeah. I was like, that's a random question, but yes, I am on PrEP. And he was like, yeah, you shouldn't be taking creatine if you're on PrEP because you'll make your kidneys fail. And I was just like, oh, okay. And then his reply was, fine, I'll just keep my information to myself next time. And I was like,
yes.
Okay.
I mean, what? That doesn't make
mental. So then,
like, yes, maybe he had a point, but that's what's the word? Uninvited.
It was very intense.
That's something you could ask your doctor. Like, that's so up to you.
I had my PrEP review, went in and said to him, I said, oh, by the way, somebody told me this, should not be taking creatine. Because actually, I didn't need to be taking PrEP anyway because I wasn't active. So I stopped taking PrEP while I was going to the gym and taking my creatine tablets just in case. Went to my PrEP review, spoke to the person
on the
about
back of this dick thing.
Just because I was a bit like, well, I don't want to do my kidneys in. And the person was like,
I've seen how much you drink. Go on.
I don't drink that much. I said to them, I was like, oh, is there any truth in this? Like, should I not be taking creatine if I'm on PrEP? Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, you just need to let us know because it will skew your results when you do your kidney test. So you need to tell us and just try and drink a bit more water. So actually, there was no lasting concern. It literally was like, if you came in and hadn't told us, something on your test would have looked awry.
Yeah. But it's interesting,
so,
though. Yeah, I mean, so, that guy was uninvited, but interesting.
But fear-mongery for me.
I know.
And it always felt like when I was at uni, there was always those arseholes that when you had that Facebook group chat, they'd come on, they'd be like, is everyone done the reading for tomorrow? Because I found that it was scintillating, and the information on page 26 was really... And fuck, you'd be sitting there at like 9:30 on a Sunday night being like, have a fuck done the reading, and I don't care. Shut up, Barbara. Yeah, exactly. And it was that thing. I'm going to come in here, stress the rest of you, and make sure you all know that I've done the reading. And I kind of felt like it was that same thing.
Yeah.
It was kind of just a bit like, I'm going to come and show you how intelligent I am, and also try and stress you out a bit. Like, it's just unhelpful. Like,
no,
keep your opinion to yourself, especially when it's false information.
And mind your own business.
Right.
You know,
imagine just asking someone if they're on PrEP.
Yes.
Rude.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But also, like, you know. Yeah, for me.
Unless you're planning on having sex with them, then absolutely ask if they're on PrEP.
Absolutely.
Be responsible, lads.
Be responsible. But it's interesting that you don't know what you don't know either. Like, yes, his information was uninvited. You're not allowed. You're uninvited. I once learned to play that song on a poker machine. A slot machine, you call it over here, because my mom was... And it doesn't matter. But it's interesting, you don't know what you don't know. So it's interesting that you wouldn't, like, but if he didn't bring that up, you wouldn't have asked your doctor that. But I guess a doctor wouldn't tell you, like, so for your review or when you do your screening, tell us if you're on prep. Tell us if you're on creatine, because not everyone does creatine.
No, unless I turned up absolutely jacked up and be like, any supplements?
What does creatine do?
Apparently, it's very good for you. I think it does. So there's part of it that does stuff for like brain function, but I think it's also like muscle recovery. Might be talking at Mars. Let's face it, I've only been going to the gym for a couple of months. But someone told me that I should be taking creatine. I take pre-workout now as well.
What does that do?
It's basically just a stimulant just to try and make me a bit more.
I don't know if you need. You have a lot of energy.
I have a lot of energy. I actually find espresso works better.
Yeah,
give you a bit of a buzz. But I was noticing a pattern of me going to the gym and not being able to hit personal bests. And I was talking to my trainer about that, and I think it was all to do with time of the day, how much water I'd had, having eaten rest either too close or not eating enough that day yet. Just because I tend to try and jam the gym in straight after work or like early in the morning on a weekend. And
yeah.
It's the way that the cookie crumbles, but it's at least stimulation.
Did you do sport at school?
No, and I think, I did rugby, because we spoke about this before.
Oh, we have, yes.
But I now work in a primary school, and one of the teachers that comes in from the high school was my old high school PE teacher, and he takes like a PE class. Well, he used to, he's not with us. He's not dead. He's just not in our school this year. And I remember him coming in and I was chatting a bit and him laughing at my eccentricities and my stories about the weekend. And in my head, I was just thinking, yeah, but when I was in high school, in your class, you and the boys and this kind of macho thing were awful to me. Like, they made my life hell. Like, he was like, and he made a comment one day in the staff room about how he was surprised that I'd done something, or surprised that I was running the football club, or surprised that I'd. Anyway, I think I basically couldn't throw a ball the length of myself when he knew me, and I was a bit like, piss off. Like, I was in this mixed group of all the boys in my year getting torn apart, and you joined in. Like, you're a dad. But actually, I quite like him as a grown-up. But
it's interesting. It's interesting because that is...
It's gay culture.
That is bullying, and that is, like, just trying to get a power over you. And I know it's all done in banter and stuff like that, but
is gay culture not just absolutely hating PE when you're in school and spending every day in the gym as an adult?
Exactly. But it's interesting that he felt he had to say comments like that. Like, you know, it's like what we're talking about earlier, before we started recording, is sometimes when someone's mean to me, it sounds really, I don't know if it sounds petty, but I think to myself, I kind of have a moment. I think, okay, what does this person have? Okay, what power do they have over me? Okay, and then I think about that. Okay, they have that over. But like in 10 years' time, let's revisit this, because those things, if it's looks or charm, people see through charm and looks very quickly. You know what I mean? It's interesting he had to say that to you. I had an interesting experience. We had a guy at school who was, it was almost like it was his job to be the year bully, the year's bully, right? But almost like, do you know how there's that bully in The Simpsons? Ha ha, that guy.
Nelson,
that's right. It's like he was almost, it was almost like if you're told something enough times, you become it. And I think maybe his brothers were it before him type thing. And one day, and he became very good friends with my brother. Even though he's my age, when you get out of school, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, age doesn't matter when it comes to friendships. And one day I was in the backyard, which we call backyards in Australia, and he pretty much made a formal apology to me. He's like, I was a bit of a dick in high school type thing. And I can't remember what he said, but it was on the long lines of, you know, I was a dick in high school. And I acknowledge that I was, you know, pretty much a bully. And just want to say sorry, you know, I didn't, you know, mean it. And I know what his life was like, and you know, he had it rough back then. Now he's great. He's wonderful. And, he has got a very successful, business in construction, and, you know, he's doing great. That's, I think he and my brother work together in that way. But it's interesting that, like, it did in a way, I was like, I think, like, you didn't have to say that, like, but, you know, you didn't have to make that apology. It was good that he almost, came full circle, you know, in that way.
And the same kind of way, like, after I left high school, like, several of the boys that were arseholes in my year all came crawling back to me. And
Back to me. Was it like a Britney video or something?
No, but, like...
Slave!
No, just slid into the DMs, and I definitely got moaned back.
Oh,
so,
stop it!
Straight boys.
You got inches back.
Right? Check your boyfriends.
Stop it. See, we are the threat in the room.
We are the threat in the room. So don't threaten us first, because I'll take out on you.
Exactly. Mark, you know, he has some techniques, ladies.
I'm just terrible. I'm just a horrible person. No. But yeah, that was my whole thing was actually like...
I don't know if we need to be...
Your original podcast was Camp Aussie Barber.
Yeah.
So that was very much embraced. Like, camp was part of the brand.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and I just wanted to join.
Yeah, because I just did, like, you know, I acknowledge, you know, I am camp, and I love it.
I don't think you're camp. I just think you're Australian.
I'm sure. I don't think Australians would appreciate that.
Oh, Australia is so camp.
I think. I think the definition of camp, and this, you know, is like things that are frivolous, you know, when people put importance on frivolous things, that can be camp. You know, if we're looking at some flowers in front of me, if I made a huge big deal out of these flowers and stuff like that, it's like, God, Ian's off on one. Like, that's a kind of camp thing.
Do you think so?
It's not just being, like, effeminate and like, oh, girl.
But I'm not even talking about that. I just think, like, like, Australia, like, well, my take on Australia, like, well, the things that I...
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Straight away that. But like the things that I enjoy about Australia, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, straight away, I wasn't even thinking about that. Dame Edna, Kath and Kim, Kylie. I mean, if you want to talk about camp being like too much of something and things being a bit frivolous, how many poisonous snakes and spiders do you need? Like, one would have done.
I know, exactly. We are over the top.
You're really over the top. Yeah, the hats with the wee corks, like, that's camp. Like,
that's also, they're very good for keeping flies off your face.
Oh, I've been, and we all slagged that hat off, and by, like, day three, we were fighting over it.
Oh, it's not
But
good.
Even that's quite camp. The fact that you call flip-flops thongs, to me, camp. Ugg boots on men, camp. I just think it's camp.
Yeah, no, that's, yeah, Bondi. I see what you're saying. I said Bondi.
Beach bods. But there's something
that's
about
not,
it.
Yeah, I don't think those things are camp. I see what you're saying. They are very odd, out of context. Well, when you're in Australia, you should never wear Ugg boots past the letterbox. You know, you should never. That's disgusting. They're basically slippers.
They're still coming further.
Exactly. But sometimes I see people on the street with them. Like, your feet must fucking stink. That's disgusting.
Do you know what else I think's inherently camp or inherently queer or a bit gay? I think the gym's a bit gay.
Of course.
I had this experience. Can I tell you a story? Right, okay. So I went into... There's a new...
Olivia, let's get physical.
Oh my God, right? Olivia Newton-John, camp. She's Australian. Australia's camp.
I see your point.
Danny Minogue, Natalie Imbruglia. We'll go for them all.
Natalie. Oh, I love Natalie.
I'm a lot of it. This is how it torn. Yeah, that's camp. Torn, okay. That is camp.
She was sued for that. That's camp.
So at the gym, there's a new personal trainer. I had walked into the changing room and I was going out straight after the gym, and I never usually do that. So I was showering at the gym. So I had a bigger bag. So I had one of the slightly taller lockers, and there's like, and this personal trainer is standing in front of my locker, and he's got the one right beside it, and he's got all his stuff out on the bench. So I was just chilling, get my headphones and stuff sorted, and he kind of looked at me and said, like, oh, is this your locker? I was like, yeah. I was saying, but take your time, it's fine, it's not a big deal. And he started to pack up some of his stuff away, cleared space, opened my locker, started unpacking my things, and started chatting to me. So I was chatting away, but whilst he's chatting, he strips completely butt naked, and then he's just standing there. So I'm neat, sort of crouched down, pulling things out of a locker, and he's talking to me. Literally slings the towel over his shoulder and is just standing chatting. Lovely guy, really nice guy, amazing physique. He's a personal trainer. And at one point, he literally just goes, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just standing here with my cock out. And I was just like, And then I'm also getting ready for the gym. So then he's talking so much and we're chatting back and forth that by the time he's finishing,
finishing.
by the time, like, he like, yeah. So then, basically, by the end of that conversation, I'm then standing there naked in a towel, and I was like, "This is the gayest thing ever," and yet, this is the yeah. The whole thing. I know what you mean.
It's but it's more homoerotic. Yeah, then gay or camp. It's not camp, obviously.
But I just think guys being like, oh, look at your triceps. Triceps are popping today, pal. You're like, that's gay.
That's, so no, gay. No, I think, yeah, it's homoerotic. And
yeah, the whole thing was very erotic.
I think when it comes to push comes to shove, they probably wouldn't go that far. But, you know,
I wasn't suggesting he was going to jump in my shower with me, but just standing there with his willy in my face, I was just a bit like.
That is interesting. I think, do you not think he was that?
No, not at all. I think he's just very comfortable. Oh. I think he's a professional bodybuilder, so he's wandering around changing rooms naked all the time.
Amazing. That's like that scene in Pitch Perfect 1. Where
I'm nude.
I'm totally comfortable with this.
You should be.
Yeah, exactly.
But then, I've been at that gym, several of the PTs, I've just been wandering with the changing rooms naked. I'm just like, always grateful for the exposure.
What gym is this? No, don't tell me what gym it is.
I wasn't good. I don't want to.
Running in.
I'm getting sued at work. I'm not going to get sued at my gym as well.
No, we'd never. Like, no, the PTs at the gym I used to go to has a separate area, so you don't even see them. It's really sad.
No, they have like a little staff room, but they use the same locker room if they were in like working out. Of course. Out. I fear the day that I bump into my own PT because I'm like, no. Absolutely
not. Do you
not. That
wear
make,
flip flops in the shower?
No.
Why? That's fucking disgusting.
Why?
Why? Because guys piss on the floor. A lot of guys knock one out. Let's be honest. We've seen the videos on everything. You know, guys wank in gym showers.
Okay, so what about the last season of podcast has led you to believe that I have an issue with guys knocking one out over me?
I know that. I know.
Like, you're like, that's so disgusting.
I don't mind. I don't mind that happening, of course. I mean, let it happen. God, you know. But I'm just like walking through it. It's kind of gross.
Nah, I don't think so.
Oh, I think it's disgusting.
I'm here for it.
But what about athlete's foot? And don't you get like itchy toes and
I've
stuff?
I've showered in the gym once. It was okay. Once because I was going
get
to run out.
Get flip-flops, honey. Do me a favor. I just can't have you having athlete's foot and scaly in between the toes. You know, what if you get a guy who's into foot fetish? It's like, I can't. I walked around. Anyway, we're going off topic. Hygiene. Do you use talcum powder on your toes and in your underwear?
No talcum powder.
Oh, God.
Basic towel dry. I didn't even take a shampoo with me. It was a body wash. It was a 3-in-1 body wash.
Lynx.
No, it was Imperial Leather. And
oh, wow.
I had literally a quick, like, wash. But then what we're going to get personal.
Oh.
So then, actually, because we both went into the shower at the same time, both then came out of the shower at the same time. And I'm standing there, and there is something about being naked in a changing room that up until that point I hadn't really experienced. That I was like, I really like this.
Okay.
Found the whole experience quite satisfying.
I think there's more to the story than you're letting on. But
no, there's
I'm going to let this slide.
All the other participants were absolutely heterosexual and nothing happened and there was nothing, no comments or anything made. However, there is, having had this kind of body transfer, this journey with my body, I'm feeling a lot more confident, but also there's parts of myself that haven't changed that I've always been very confident about.
Oh, God. And guys, just he's telling you he has a big dick.
And having that out in public, I don't know, something quite satisfying about it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mark Jones, who will be in prison soon for exposing himself.
Not in a locker room. Hashtag showing and growing.
Stop it.
You're going to have to edit this one as well, aren't you?
No, that's fine. No, I'm much more a grower than a shower. Yes. That
way, yeah. See,
anyway, we shouldn't start talking about this on a podcast. You know, moving quite along. Actually, it has been great speaking to you, Mark.
Right.
Right.
Thanks.
But yes,
that conversation was a grower, not a shower.
And I am pulling the plug. So you know, yeah. Don't you don't need to identify as mask or femme or whatever. You are just you. That is magical.
If you want to swing that dick around the locker room, you do that. Babe. You live your best life. No
well,
one's going
to
judge you.
I'm not in the gym anymore. I just walk around here naked in front of Sabrina. I don't go to the gym. So I have a kettlebell.
Jiu-jitsu?
Well.
Swing it about afterwards?
Could you imagine? Because it's so sweaty. I have shied away a bit from jiu-jitsu. People kept getting injured.
Ah.
And I had a shoulder injury and a neck injury that was work-related, nothing to do with jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Nothing. They're all very safe there, and they teach you how to drop and all that. But when I was there, one guy got his arm dislocated.
Ah.
while I was there. And it was just interesting. And then none of my friends, he had a terrible injury there doing jiu-jitsu. And I was just like, I am 41. I don't have the recovery time. And also, I'm a barber and I do photography. So I need my shoulder movement as I need to protect it as much as I can, really. So, and it's such a shame because it is so good. It does feel so primitively, like, you know, it's just the connection and, you know, I don't know. Like, jiu-jitsu is such a great sport. I just think it's not even, I'm not going to say I'm too old for it. It's just I'm probably not limber enough for it. And and also in my career, like, if I had a job where I could do it on a computer all the time, perhaps I could be able to recover for 8 weeks in a sling, but I can't.
At our age, Sonny, you just can't risk an injury like that. You don't know if you'll recover.
Yeah, you're 11 years younger than me.
Yeah, but my hips and my knees and my ankles.
Everything click cracks.
Clickety
everything
crack, cracks. Crack, crack, crack. So probably being 6'6". The world's not made for me.
Lovely to speak to you.
Pull the plug. On that life support.